This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way.
I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
And today we are talking about corn on the cob. And I want to clarify this because, as Molly wrote on the agenda, we are talking about corn eaten on the cob, not corn cut off the cob.
Yeah, there's a difference. Those are different episodes.
But the way you wrote this, it's as if it would be a normal thing for someone to say, like, we're having corn on the cob, and then present a bowl of corn kernels and claim that that was corn on the cob.
Well, but I think that it's easy to start a conversation about corn.
It's so easy. When I meet a new person, that's usually my opening, icebreaker. Like, let's talk about corn.
And suddenly,
what's your favorite kind of corn?
Find yourself talking about corn that's cut off the cob. I mean, like, you start a conversation about corn on the cob, and the next thing you know, you're talking about succotash.
That's true. I think that's symbolic of our short attention span society or something.
You know what I was
what
thinking?
Were we talking about?
You know what I was thinking about recently? Was I discussing this with you? That it makes me super sad that you can have something really important introduced into culture, like Childish Gambino's This Is America.
Okay,
and
yeah.
Everybody talks about it for like a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, 3 weeks later, it's like it never happened.
Then 3 weeks later, that was America.
Yeah, I mean, it things are passing through the cultural body quickly.
I was going to say, the cultural digestive tract.
Yeah, it's really sad.
But is that, how much faster is it than it used to be?
Oh, I think it's way faster. It's way faster. Think about a time when, like, before the internet. I know it's hard to remember, Matthew.
Yeah, I'm trying.
When, like, you know, this single would have dropped.
Right.
People would have written about it in magazines and newspapers. Spin magazine, you know, like, it would have come out the next month. They would have been writing about it. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
like,
yeah,
this stuff
and also,
would have lasted.
I realize, like, we sound like we're 117 years old. But I was thinking recently about how, like, it used to be, like, someone would release an album and they would release the first single. And that would be the song everyone was talking about. And then, like, a month later, they would release the next single. And
right?
If you hadn't bought the album, you never heard that song. And it's like brand new music from
right?
Michael Jackson or whoever.
Right?
I mean, obviously, not Michael Jackson, because he would have bought that
but
album.
It makes me feel kind of sad because, like, you do all of this work as an artist to produce this thing.
Oh, tell me about it.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
Okay.
And then you put it out there and people love on it and talk about it and all that stuff. And then it's over.
Yeah. No, my most recent book came out in 2017, and that in the publishing world is now the equivalent of sawdust.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so what's my last book, which came out in 2014?
Oh, it's I think it's like been broken down into petroleum now and can be pulled out of a well.
Soon it's going to be found encased in amber.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to start a theme park based on it.
Oh, wait. Oh, like they're going to pull the DNA out of it,
yeah.
And clone you?
No, they're going to clone Delancey,
oh, okay.
The restaurant, and make it a theme park.
No, I think there should be
a
theme park.
I'm stretching this way too far.
Like a Dolly World. Wait, Dollywood, not Dolly World. I'm confusing Wally World from National Lampoon's Vacation with Dollywood.
Okay.
No, like a Dollywood, only Mollywood. And it's your
DNA.
Can I
have larger breasts? I mean, I'm happy with mine because, like, they're there, mm-hmm. but and I can also go without a bra if I want to. So it's I kind of have the best of both worlds, but there are just times when, like, I would just like a little extra.
Cloned and genetically modified, like, you could literally have the best of both worlds.
I could.
Okay, we'll get on this. This will be, I don't know, next week's episode. Maybe this will be a bonus episode.
Okay, cool. All right, so we're talking about corn on the cob.
Oh, I forgot, yes.
Yeah.
I thought that was like so last week.
Okay, so let's go down memory lane.
I loved corn on the cob as a kid, and I looked forward to it, and I feel like, you know, I...
Was there a certain meal that your family always ate corn on the cob with, or was it strictly a summer thing, or did your family kind of bend the rules of corn on the cob? I mean, corn on the cob is something that you really only get in season, but I do feel like,
people ship
it up from Mexico and stuff.
But and also,
and then you can get it any time.
As I introduced you to you today, there's frozen corn on the cob, which is currently
I had never heard of until today. I can't wait to really discuss this.
Yeah, I've never tried it. I don't know if it's going to be good.
So was corn on the cob a thing where, like, your mom would be like, "Oh man, it's corn season, kids. We're having corn on the cob for the first time this year."
No. In fact, I don't really remember much seasonal eating from growing up in Portland, Oregon in the 80s.
Yeah, I think the 80s was not a time for seasonal eating.
No. So, you know, I certainly do associate it with, like, summer barbecues. I remember there was this one family, boy, I haven't thought about this in ever. When I was a kid, we would go to their backyard barbecue, and the dad would always wear this American flag shirt.
Really?
Yeah, like a button-down, like rugby, not like, I don't know, like a button-down shirt with, like, that was all American flag all the time.
That is a statement.
It was pretty iconic.
Yeah. Anyway, but so was there corn on the cob at this barbecue?
Yeah, I'm sure there was, because that's when I think of corn on the cob as a kid, I think backyard barbecue.
And would it have been
that's
boiled?
That's how boring I am.
Would it have been boiled?
Yeah, it would have been boiled.
Okay.
You know, I don't recall anyone when I was a kid doing what has now become the thing of, like, grilling the corn in the husk.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah, nobody really did that back then.
I don't know. It's gonna. I feel like saying all these things, it's going to turn out that I was just, like, really sheltered and everyone was eating seasonally and grilling corn in the husk.
No, let's be real. This was the 80s, man.
I know.
Like, people were eating frozen yogurt.
They were listening to whatever
pasta,
single the record company told.
They were listening to Wham.
Yep.
And doing a lot of cocaine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm never going to dance again.
Can't you feel I've got no rhythm?
Is it Guilty Feet Ain't Got No Rhythm?
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Though it's easy to pretend. I know you're not a fool.
Yeah.
Should have known better than to cheat a friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's actually should have known better than to eat a friend.
wasted chance that I better give up? Is that it?
I actually don't know how that line goes.
Oh, bummer. Anyway, all right. So I'll talk about my memory lane. So, like you, Matthew, I associate corn on the cob with outdoor eating in the summer. Although I think that I remember having it at home more than anywhere else. My dad would boil it. We would eat it. I remember also, I don't know if I've ever talked on the show about the fact that when I was growing up, not far away, like two blocks away, was the Oklahoma City Art Museum, which was then, like, housed in this big, like, old mansion.
Oh, that sounds awesome, and I'm sure you've never talked about it before because it's not on my mental map of Oklahoma City.
But do you? I'm sure you would remember this. It's called the Buttram Mansion, which was spelled Buttram.
Yeah, I
do remember
this?
That.
Yeah.
So anyway, when I was growing up, there was a period of time when there would be summer outdoor concerts.
Oh, of course.
On the grounds at the art museum.
Who would have played at a summer outdoor concert in Oklahoma City in the 80s?
I don't know, like, local bands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We always went to the Portland, downtown Portland Waterfront Blues Festival.
Yeah.
There'd be like a Curtis Salgado
Was Harvey and the Wallbangers was like a band in Oklahoma City back then.
Okay, I believe you.
Anyway, but we would go, and my parents had like an actual wicker picnic basket.
Nice.
And
like with the flip-up flaps?
Yes, with the flip-up flaps. And they had like a dedicated set of cloth napkins.
I bet we
these,
talked
like,
about
plaid
this.
Plaid cloth napkins and on the picnic
on
episode.
On the picnic episode, the one where we recorded it in the park, but you couldn't tell because it was too quiet in the park.
Yeah. But anyway, I do remember my dad like cooking some chicken and taking it in a Tupperware to the park and also some corn on the cob. I remember eating corn on the cob at those like outdoor concerts.
Wow. That is like the most American experience I can think of.
Right? I think it was also, I don't know. I also remember, and maybe this is a good segue into the one of the things we wanted to talk about next. My parents had those like corn on the cob holders that were shaped like little yellow plastic cobs of corn.
You mean like the ones that we have
yeah.
right here?
And you would stick them in at either end. It's like one of those quintessential kitchen gadgets that nobody needs, but it's so satisfying.
No,
to have.
No. You need corn holders.
I don't have corn holders. Do they still make these?
Do they still make corn holders?
I don't have corn holders. My child has never experienced a corn holder.
But then how does she not burn her fingers?
Well, usually by the time we sit down to eat, I've already pulled the corn out of the pot and finished cooking off something else. The corn is never like piping hot when we eat it. Am I a horrible, horrible parent?
Mm. I know. It's just like corn holders are like one of the most fun things.
Why did you only put corn holders on your cob, man?
Because I wanted to let you to have the experience of stabbing your own corn.
Yeah, I haven't done it in a long
time. Okay,
so
first of all, frozen corn on the cob, not very good. But
do I have to eat it?
I mean, give it a try. It's the flavor's okay. It's just kind of mushy. I guess it depends what texture you're looking for from your corn.
So wait, Matthew, will you tell us a little bit about what you learned about corn holders? Or what are they? Is there a name for these?
They're called corn holders. So I went out to Wikipedia and looked at the Wikipedia page for corn on the cob.
Okay.
And I went straight to the section about corn holders, and I found on the Wikipedia was claiming that they are actually called cob shanks or cobus maximus.
Ooh, and I'm like, the flavor's good, but it is really mushy.
Yeah, and I was like, someone is fucking with us on Wikipedia. And I Googled it, and yes, someone was fucking with us on Wikipedia. No one's ever called them cob shanks. But
what was the other one?
Cobus maximus, which doesn't even make sense.
That doesn't even make sense.
But I still, like, as far as Wikipedia pranks go.
That's what I call my butt, though.
Oh, yeah. Do you put your thing down, flip it, and reverse it?
Oh, yeah.
That song was playing yesterday somewhere, and like it's been my entire world ever since. Mm-hmm. So I discovered this Wikipedia prank like 3 days ago and have been calling them cob shanks ever since, and I don't think I'll ever stop. I think the Wikipedia bandit may have actually changed the language.
I think they may have, too. This is how those like neologisms get coined all the time.
So, to answer your question.
Wait a minute. Do we have to share an ear of corn? Oh, my God. I didn't know you could just snap it in half. Matthew just used his brute force to snap an ear of corn in half so that we don't have to eat off the same cob.
Was the brutality there just palpable?
It was. God, that was the most manly thing you've ever done.
I think you're right. I think it is.
I'm pretty sure I've said that about other things you've done.
But this really trumped them all. So to answer your question from a minute ago, yes, they still make corn holders. And they still make ones that look like little ears of corn.
God, that was difficult. Okay, hold on.
Okay,
wait a minute. Matthew, you also wrote on the agenda Niblet Nabbers.
Okay, the brand name of the ones that I bought, these ones that we're using, was Niblet Nabbers, which, again, doesn't make sense because they don't, like, nab niblets.
No.
But still pretty fun. It's fun to say.
But this is not the niblet episode, Matthew.
No. We did that. We did corn off the cob like 7 years ago or something.
Quick question. Did you just buy these recently? Is that why you remember that they're called niblet nabbers?
No, I remember it because it was a funny name.
Okay. So anyway, can I talk a little bit about...
I don't have the short attention span of our modern society. I'm from the 80s.
Can I talk about corn on the cob a little bit?
Oh, sure.
So I learned that it is regionally known as pole corn, corn stick, sweet pole, butter pop, and long maize. Corn on the cob is basically a culinary term that we use for a cooked ear of freshly picked maize from a cultivar of sweet corn, not to be confused with like other corns that we would use for animal feed or processing into
high fructose stuff.
Yeah. And the ear is picked while the endosperm is in the milk stage.
Ooh.
So that the kernels are still tender. Matthew, do you have anything to say about that from the other side of the room? You keep leaving me in this episode.
I know.
Oh, God, this fresh one is so much better.
Yeah, it's very good. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like my endosperm's in the milk stage, right, everyone? This is going to be the episode where I just say and do dumb dude stuff the whole time.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. Okay, hold on now.
Although you were the one who was talking about having huge breasts. So
okay, so I learned also on Wikipedia that Lillian Eichler Watson, in a 1921 etiquette book, described corn on the cob as, quote, without a doubt, one of the most difficult foods to eat gracefully.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
She added, quote, that it is entirely permissible to use the fingers in eating corn. Now, I think that she means any fingers.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be your fingers.
No, just use the fingers.
Mm-hmm.
Holding it lightly at each end. Sometimes a napkin is used in holding it.
You can use chicken fingers.
Or finger shanks.
You stick one of your fingers into the end, each end of the cob.
Yeah. Anyway, hold on. She says, sometimes, however, a short, sharp knife would be provided that each diner could use to cut or scrape the kernels from the cob for later eating.
That sounds incredibly dangerous.
She described this as, quote, by far the most satisfactory method, end quote, of eating corn on the cob. Lillian Eichler Watson was the original killjoy.
Yeah.
I mean, by far the most satisfactory method of eating corn on the cob is to take it off the cob.
I mean, to be fair, the most satisfying way is to take it off the cob, but with your mouth.
Yeah. I'm doing it right now.
She probably, I mean, if she thinks that that's the most satisfying way to eat corn on the cob, she probably never even played Snapdragon.
No,
the official game of spilled milk.
Mm-hmm. If listeners are wondering what we're talking about, which episode should they go to? The Raisin?
I think we've talked about it on like five different episodes.
I think it originated on the Raisins episode, though, right?
That makes sense.
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Third Love.
Using thousands of real women's measurements, Third Love has designed its bras with breast size and shape in mind so they fit impeccably.
Molly, did you know that Third Love recently added 24 new sizes?
I didn't even know it was possible to get bras in that many sizes. It's like a fantasy that I never believed would be realized.
Yes. Well, people come in all shapes and sizes, and so do Third Love bras.
Yes. A total of 70 sizes.
Yep. And you can find your perfect fit by using their online fit finder. It is actually fun, and it takes less than a minute to do it.
Yep.
Have you done it?
I have done it,
yeah.
In fact. Yes, and this is an incredibly comfortable bra, no matter which of the many styles you choose from. Third Love knows what it is doing.
Yep, they've got a perfect bra for everyone, every body, every shape, and right now they are offering 15% off your first order.
Go to thirdlove.com/spilledmilk now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase.
That's thirdlove.com/spilledmilk for 15% off today. This episode is brought to you by Plated. Take it easy, make it easy this summer with Plated. Plated is a meal kit delivery service that delivers farm-fresh meals to your door, ready to cook with step-by-step recipe cards. And here's something I love about Plated. When you get the Plated box, it includes a list of every single producer, farm, ranch that grew, raised the stuff in the box that you're going to be cooking this week. And it is so much fun to get a box from Plated. When the box came, my daughter, who's 14, said, "Hey, Dad, could you please wait and not open the box for a minute until I'm ready to join you and pull these things out?" Because it is so beautifully packaged and includes everything you need. If you need, for example, we made Thai beef lettuce wraps, which were delicious, and the recipe called for 1 tablespoon of brown sugar, and it came with the cutest tiny little bag of 1 tablespoon of brown sugar that I was able to toss into the spicy sauce for these Thai beef lettuce wraps. And they were incredibly delicious. And when we were finished, there was not a single drop left. So to get started and get 25% off your first 4 weeks of Plated, go to plated.com/redeem and use the promo code MILK. That's plated.com/redeem, promo code MILK, to get 25% off your first 4 weeks. Plated. Take it easy. Make it easy.
Can we talk about special devices for, or how one butters corn on the cob?
How does one butter corn on the cob? So the two of us just used two different methods. I melted some butter in the microwave and then just used a brush to brush it on my corn before sprinkling some salt on it.
Is that what you usually do?
Yes. As you know,
you are a real butter melter.
Yeah, I'm a little phobic of unmelted butter.
But I mean, I understood why you melted the butter for the grilled cheese episode, right?
Uh-huh.
You melted the butter and brushed it on the outside of the bread.
Yeah, for like even coverage.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense mm-hmm. to me. In this situation, I just feel like this is extremely messy, this like melted butter and then brushing it on thing.
You sound like a real Lillian Gish or whatever her name was.
Lillian Eichler Watson.
Yeah.
I think that Lillian Eichler Watson should now be shorthand, I mean long shorthand, for
yeah.
For anyone who is sort of curmudgeonly.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be messy anyway. I don't know. I like melted butter. What can I say?
Okay, well, so these days what I tend to do is just put out the butter dish and a knife, and you messily butter your own corn.
Mm-hmm.
When I was growing up, I do remember at one point being allowed to roll my ear of corn in a stick of butter, like on the butter dish.
Yeah, that I have a problem with.
I struggle with that, too. I mean, then what are you going to do with the rest of the stick of butter?
So, yeah. So one like weird kitchen phobia that I have is like if you take a stick of butter, like you need to butter a baking dish, right? Mm-hmm. And so the most convenient thing is just grab a stick of butter and like press the end of it against the dish and rub it all around. Around,
mm-hmm.
And then the end of the butter stick is kind of like rounded off and misshapen. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't want to go anywhere near that after that.
You wouldn't look at that and think, oh, I'm just going to cook eggs in that or.
Oh, no, I will do that because I'm not a barbarian, but I don't like it.
You have to like sort of look the other direction.
Look the other direction. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it doesn't seem like my mom to endorse rubbing an entire stick of butter ear of corn. A corn stick, as some people call it.
A pole, sweet pole? That was really one of the things, wasn't it?
Or a butter pop.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't seem like my mom to endorse rubbing a butter pop in a butter stick.
Wait, is this how she explained the birds and the bees to you? Because I have some questions.
You just spat corn on yourself.
Yeah, of course I did.
Anyway, but...
again, you're being a real Lillian Hellman, or whatever her name was.
Lillian Eichler Watson. Okay, but anyway, my parents did have these little things that were like... they were almost like small spoons, silver spoons, with slots...
Oh, of course you grew up with silver spoons.
In my mouth. Born with it.
With you, with Ricky Schroeder.
Yeah,
and-
yeah.
Someone else.
God, I had a real crush on Ricky Schroeder.
Oh,
as a
yeah,
kid.
Yeah. He was a beautiful, beautiful man, and the show is not very good, I don't think.
Anyway,
but I certainly watched probably every episode of it.
Anyway, so you would put a little pat of butter in the reservoir of this spoon, and then you would rub it over the corn with the base of the spoon, which had slots in it, facing the corn, and it would melt the butter.
Oh.
Anyway, I remember...
I don't feel like that would work very well, but I like the visual.
I feel like it was, you know, the Lillian Eichler Watson way of buttering corn. It was
yeah,
like the high
too
society
fastidious.
Way. Anyway, when my mom was moving out of her house in Oklahoma to move to Seattle like 3 years ago, and I was helping her pack stuff up, I remember we found all of those and bundled them together, and I think we gave them to my brother for Christmas or something.
Oh, yeah. Merry Christmas, bro.
Yeah, here, enjoy your corn buttering spoon things.
Can I say something about the show Silver Spoons?
Yeah.
And I want to put this out to the listeners because I'm probably misremembering this, but as I recall, there was an episode of Silver Spoons where Ricky fell... Wait, was his name Ricky on the show also?
I don't know.
I don't know either. He fell under the thrall of like a bad influence kid. And as I recall, the bad influence...
Haven't we all?
Yes, but as I recall, not so charismatically, though, because as I recall, the bad influence kid was named Ledge, which was short for legend, and he said
what?
The word gnarly a lot.
Oh, man, that is the baddest kid in town.
I know.
Wow.
Yep.
Anyway, so other ways of buttering corn. I was at someone's house within the past couple of years and encountered a butter boy for the first time.
And you linked to this. We'll link to this in the show notes, spilledmilkpodcast.com. I had never heard of this, and it's very scary.
It is very scary. It's like a little green sort of, it kind of looks like a, I don't know, like a gingerbread man made three-dimensional but shorter
yes.
and green.
Yes.
And you put like half a stick of butter inside it. Sitting upright,
mm-hmm.
and then you can sort of pull off the top of the boy's head
Yeah, that's exactly it.
And butter your corn with his butter brain.
Yeah, it's like a concave, like dish-shaped neck remaining when you take the head off.
Yeah.
Like, you know, anyway, when you take a boy's head off.
I remember where I encountered
a boy
this.
Like Ricky Schroeder.
You know, I think I encountered this actually at my brother's house, the same brother we gave those spoons to. I can't believe he's not using the spoons.
There's going to be an episode of Hoarders where they go to your brother's house and it's just all corn paraphernalia. Like the like slidey thing to like strip the kernels off the cob.
Yeah, that thing.
And
what else? The whole bunch of niblet nabbers.
Mm-hmm, of like various, I mean, of course, like we didn't talk about how corn holders come in like matched, like cutesy matched sets.
Yeah, like I'm pretty sure there's some that look like people.
Yeah, so you can like really like wrap your fists around the people and squeeze them as you as you eat your dinner.
That's what I've always wanted to do
with people.
Have a very, very, very small like tabletop size person who I can just wrap my fists around while I eat dinner.
Well, we're gonna be doing a personality test bonus episode later today, and I think I just learned all I need to know.
Okay. Anyway, Matthew, how badly does this stuff get stuck in your teeth? Like, I think some people are blessed with teeth that are not corn grabbers.
No. My teeth are total niblet nabbers. I'm going to have to like run to the floss box.
I've been sitting here picking my teeth very, very openly while Matthew has been talking.
I'm like just like doing weird things with my tongue that I'm sure are very unpleasant to watch.
I feel like my teeth have just the right amount of space to trap corn
kernels.
Well,
good for you. Oh, just to trap the corn kernels.
Yeah. I mean, they're like made for corn.
I guess if they were
kerneling
too close together, like there wouldn't be any room for the niblets to get in there.
I kind of feel like some people who really benefited from American orthodontia might not have niblet nabber teeth.
Okay. Again, listeners,
Listeners, please weigh in. Like if you have one of those beautiful pearly white, well-engineered smiles, which neither do you. Did you have braces?
I did not have braces.
I didn't
nor have I succumbed to my dentist's repeated prodding that I might want to get Invisalign.
Oh God. Anyway,
Every time he says that, I say I'm just not vain enough.
Yeah, I've been thinking about bleaching my teeth.
I did do that actually.
It was
a pain in the ass.
You know, I have like sort of naturally kind of yellow teeth.
Yeah, me too.
My dad did too, and I tend to like sort of try not to feel bad about it because I also don't want my teeth to be super bright white. Mm-hmm. But the other day I was lying on the sofa next to June and she was turning and sort of looking into my face cute way. And then she goes, "Mama, your teeth are yellow." And I was like, "Oh God, now I have to." Anyway, but okay. So do you have a preference of corn color, like white, yellow, bicolor?
I don't think I care. I think I'm fine with whatever. Like, I mean, it's all about like the like, is it fresh?
How do you choose an ear of corn? Because some people, I remember reading in you know, like a slightly precious food book, an account of how someone's mother used to pick corn and then run in from the field, shucking it and dunk it in boiling water that was, you know, already boiling when she went outside to pick the corn.
I mean,
I've never had corn that fresh. I don't even know.
It's a compelling image. So here's what I've heard about that, and I don't know if this is correct, but what I've heard is that is like a thing you would do with like breeding of super sweet corn varieties.
Okay.
So that because corn starts to convert its sugars to starches after you pick it.
Yeah.
But it has been bred to not do that nearly as quickly as it used to.
Okay.
So you can just kind of lope into the kitchen instead of running.
Okay. And when you bring corn on the cob home from the grocery store, do you try to eat it that day? Like, I usually try to eat it that day, and I try not to refrigerate it.
Yeah, I agree.
Frankly, like, so I get those imperfect produce boxes sometimes.
Oh, really? We should talk about this.
Yeah, we should. Anyway, and I got some corn from them recently, and I got it, and I sort of didn't have a plan for it, and we already had dinner plans that night, and so I put it in the fridge, and we didn't eat it till like 3 days later, and it was still delicious.
Good. Yeah. It's modern corn. Yeah, I will get corn from the farmer's market and just kind of leave a pile of ears of corn like in the corner by my bookcase, and the cat will come over and nibble on the corn husk. It's
Wait,
so cute.
You leave it over by the bookcase?
Yeah.
That's in your living room, Matthew.
No, that bookcase right there.
Oh, this bookcase. I thought you meant the bookcase in your living room.
No, listeners, I meant the bookcase in my dining room.
Okay, great.
But I could leave a pile of corn in the living room. Would that surprise anyone if they came to my apartment?
That surprised me a little bit.
Yeah,
I mean, that corner is usually just the book corner.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway. I mean, corn, you can... Never mind. There's no joke here.
Okay, great. Great. Hey, do you ever eat corn on the cob raw?
No. Oh, wait. Can we go back to buttering techniques before we talk? Because we didn't talk about the like butter a piece of bread and then roll.
I've never heard that.
I've never done it, but I've definitely. So, okay. I think actually this is the perfect segue because I think I saw this and raw corn both in the same place, which is the movie War Games starring Matthew Broderick.
Was this a corn-themed movie?
Yeah, it was all about corn and nuclear war. So in the movie, for no reason, just as like a throwaway joke, Matthew Broderick's dad is eating corn, and first he butters a piece of bread and then rolls the cob of corn in the buttered bread, like okay. Kind of cradles the corn in it. Like he's like buffing his glasses with a handkerchief, only it's the handkerchief is buttered
this sounds
bread.
Sounds really smart.
And then he takes a bite and he says, "This corn is raw." And Matthew Broderick's mom says something like, "I know. Can't you just taste the vitamins and minerals?" I've tried it. I would never choose it. It's not terrible, but I would never choose it over cooked corn.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that.
Oh wait, don't you serve a salad with raw corn?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, well, we used to. When Delancey first opened, like around the time I was still working there mm-hmm. in the kitchen, we served a salad that was like gorgeous summer tomatoes with corn, raw corn cut off the cob, and like a pickled shallot vinaigrette and fresh basil and stuff. It was delicious. But yeah, I mean, with corn that is really fresh and sweet, it doesn't need to be cooked.
Do you eat raw corn on the cob?
I never just eat it off the cob,
right?
Though.
So, in a salad where it's like not, it doesn't have the same like density of pure corn material.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that working fine, but I don't
want
to eat raw corn on the cob.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I know some people do.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And that's all I'll say about that.
Great. So how do you cook your corn on the cob?
So I learned this method from Cook's Illustrated where I guess I've just pretty much learned everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's where I learned about the birds and the bees. They were explained to me by Christopher Kimball, friend of the show. here's how we do it in Vermont. So here you bring a pot of water to a boil. You throw in the ears of corn and then you take it off the heat and basically let them poach for like 10 minutes.
Oh, this is like how I do hard boiled eggs.
Yeah, it's that method. And the idea is that you don't want to overcook the corn because it loses like moistness.
God, but 10 minutes, that's a long time.
Well, it's a long time, but not in boiling water, in like water that's cooling down.
So you bring the water to a boil. Do you salt the water?
No.
No? Why not?
I don't know.
It seems like it would be a good idea.
Yeah.
Otherwise, aren't you pulling salt out of the corn?
Maybe you're pulling salt, but then you're going to put salt back on. You're right. I should probably salt the water.
Okay. So anyway, you bring the water to a boil, and this is like water, like a full pot of water.
Like a big pot of water.
Okay. And, oh God, I'm going to try this because often, I think because I tend to cook my corn less than you do,
mm-hmm.
I tend to do it just in a skillet, like with a small amount of water, and I just sort of turn it.
Okay. I don't think I've ever seen that method before.
I wonder where I learned that. It's kind of a weird method.
I mean,
it's why my corn is never very hot when I serve it.
It sounds economical.
I guess if you're trying to conserve water
uh-huh.
that
and heat.
Much and heat, yeah.
I mean, I brought a big pot of water to a boil to cook 2 ears of corn.
Yeah, that does seem pretty dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty dumb
that
of me.
Was so dumb. Okay.
They're not going to make it. They're going to make a theme park based on me, and it's just going to be about like dumb stuff. The tunnel of dumb.
So I saw on Wikipedia that people fry corn.
Like,
is this like a state fair thing?
I think it must. I think I have had this.
Is it battered or is it just fried?
No, you just toss it in. Like, I think there are a lot of ways to heat up an ear of corn. So
I love how you smile and look at me knowingly when you say that.
Yeah. There's a lot of ways to heat up an ear of corn.
Yeah.
I know the one I'm thinking
of.
Yeah,
this isn't my first rodeo either, Matthew.
This isn't my first state fair. I've had, we're going to talk about roasted in a minute, right? Because I know I've had that as like part of like a kind of a roasted vegetable medley.
Mm-hmm,
and it's fine.
It's fine. I kind of really, I sort of don't understand why you would do anything with corn except boil it, quite
honestly. But we're about to talk about Mexican street corn, right?
Okay, but that, and that's grilled, I guess, so... But I was going to say, this whole situation, I feel like there's been a lot in the past 10 years about grilling corn and different ways of doing it. Like, mm-hmm. do you do it in the husk and do you soak the husk in water first?
Right.
Do you pull back the husk and butter the corn and then put the husk back on it and tie it shut?
Oh, do you do that?
All of these things
maybe
just
like
seem...
put a little piece of compound butter in there?
I mean, God, Matthew, shut up. I think if we were a certain type of podcast, we would probably do all these things and compare them.
Oh,
because probably some of them are delicious.
What type of podcast are you thinking?
I don't know. Like a cooking show? Yeah,
like a
cooking show.
I mean, as you know, we don't have grills. Wait,
I have a grill now.
You do?
I just have one of those Weber kettles.
Did I know this?
We got it last summer.
I noticed a change in you last summer.
We got it last summer, and I have to say that I don't know, and I know that a whole bunch of listeners are going to get all up in my grill about this, but it seems to me that like charcoal grills... God, it takes a long time to heat that stuff up properly.
Oh, when I was a kid,
it seems crazy.
That was so frustrating.
And also, if you don't like a lot of charcoal grill flavor on your food,
don't use a charcoal grill to cook your food. I hear you. That makes a lot of sense.
It's less expensive and less bulky than a standard gas grill.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we have a charcoal grill. We've used it once because it took so long to heat up. We've used it once because it took so long to heat up.
Like a rounding error from not having a grill.
Yes, it is. But I do feel like how much time do you want to set aside to use your grill? And why bother?
Listeners, please do not weigh in on why you grill.
I also don't want listeners to weigh in on charcoal versus propane. I know.
Wait. What do you know?
Oh, I think there are a lot of people who feel strongly that you must use charcoal.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, but to go back to this thing about the lighting the briquettes.
Yes.
I remember as a kid, like, I've always been a person who hates to wait to eat. Mm-hmm. And, like, when I was a kid, like, knowing that, like, okay, you know, whoever's grilling is right now lighting the charcoal, and that means we'll be eating in, like, from a kid perspective, 3 days from now.
Yeah.
And I don't remember anyone grilling corn.
Yeah, we grilled some corn and some steaks last summer.
Okay.
And the steaks were delicious, and the corn was kind of like, I wish we'd boiled it.
So I think we've sort of confirmed what you would expect about, like, what is the best corn to get. Because like this,
fresh corn.
Behind the scenes look at the show. We are recording this in June, which means it's not yet fresh corn season in Western Washington,
mm-hmm.
our home.
Yes.
And so I got some supermarket imported corn and some frozen corn. The frozen corn was mushy, although the flavor is okay. And the supermarket corn, you know, it didn't have a ton of flavor, but the texture
sweet.
Was very good. It was kind of
sweeter than corny.
Yeah, it was sweeter than cornier.
Yeah.
Like that like full flavored, like got it all going on kind of corn, you really have to, you know, wait till summer.
Brandon Pettit would say that the finest corn in the land is in New Jersey.
Of course he would.
Yeah.
Does he talk a lot about Jersey tomatoes?
God, of course he does. Of course he does. Beef steaks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't say I've ever had them, so I don't think I
have either.
I have to just go along with it because I know he's right.
I mean, New Jersey has so little.
Let them have this.
Yes.
Yeah. What Trenton makes, the world takes.
Is that like their agricultural slogan or like
that's
manufacturing?
Like
or
it's their just, manufacturing slogan.
I mean, do they pay for it at least or they just take it?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm sure we're going to get New Jersey people. Don't weigh in on this. Okay.
Don't weigh in on whether New Jersey is good or bad.
Yeah. No, I know that there's a lot of good things about New Jersey.
Oh, yeah. It's the Garden State.
It is the Garden State.
It has the Garden
State.
They've
got so
Parkway.
Many boardwalks. They've got really good pizza.
Wait, do they have like many boardwalks? Not just
Atlantic City?
Mm-hmm. You know what they've got?
They've got Bruce Springsteen.
They've got the Wrens.
What?
One of the greatest indie rock bands ever.
Bruce Springsteen, Bon Jovi.
Yes.
Yes.
So yeah, they've got like a lot of like gravelly voiced dudes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Chest hair. A lot of chest hair.
The Sopranos, was that New Jersey?
Yes, it was.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
It so turns wait, out we know a lot about New Jersey. I don't know what you're talking about.
Hey, let's talk about Mexican style street corn.
Yes. Okay. This is okay for me. This has to be made with like real summer corn, and I look. It's one of these seasonal things that I genuinely look forward to
now,
every
this
year.
This is supposed to be grilled. Will you talk about it?
So I make it under the broiler, and it's fine.
Why do you do that rather than boiling it?
Because I want some char on the kernels.
Okay.
And the trade-off with that is that they get super sticky and like just they stay in your mouth for until the following summer.
What if you parboiled it and then broiled it?
I think that could work. I don't know if it would help.
Okay. So you broil the corn until it's a certain color, I'm guessing?
Yeah, until it starts to brown. And then spread it with a mixture of like Mexican cheese and mayo and lime juice and chili powder. What am I forgetting?
So I think it's usually mayo, either crema or sour cream, and a Mexican cheese like cotija, like something crumbly like that. Chili powder and lime.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Maybe a little garlic.
So good. Yeah, I think sometimes garlic is added.
Maybe garlic powder, probably.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. And do you follow a recipe when you do this?
No, I just kind of mix some stuff together, and it's, it's going to be good.
Okay. You don't mix the cotija in, right? That gets like sprinkled.
So I usually do because it's just easier and I don't really notice the difference. It's all going to get mixed up in my mouth anyway.
Okay. Okay. So do you
And then I might sprinkle a little more cheese on at the table.
Okay. And do you mix all of this stuff together?
I just mix all of it together and slather it on pretty thick and then broil it a little more.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's so good. It's just one of the best things.
Wow. Okay, cool. Maybe we should link to like a recipe for it or a method or something like that.
I'm pretty sure there's a Kenji Lopez Alt recipe on Serious Eats.
Okay, great. Let's find it.
This episode was brought to you by Third Love, and Third Love is passionate about the perfect fit.
They believe it's time for your bra to fit you, not the other way around.
Yeah, their collection is designed by women for women, and they have over 70 sizes of bra to choose from.
That is so cool. You can get 15% off your first purchase by going to thirdlove.com/spilledmilk today.
All right, anything else about corn on the cob or New Jersey? Or Dollywood.
Dollywood or teeth, orthodontia, teeth whitening.
Yep.
Hey, listeners, do you have, I mean, my dentist has talked to me about crest whitening strips, but do you have any, preferred, they come in like different lengths of time, kind of like Monistat?
Right.
Do you have a preferred length of time for your teeth whitening product?
Yeah, I don't think I've tried the over-the-counter whitening strips. Should I? Do they actually do anything?
My dentist recommended it, actually, over like the dentist sold stuff.
Wow. That's
she was like, it's all kind of the same.
But like, how is your dentist going to buy her next boat?
I'm not sure, but I doubt that's going to be a problem for
her. Okay, yeah.
Okay.
All right. So I guess now we've like slandered New Jersey dentists. What else? Frozen corn.
My breasts.
Yeah, exactly. It was
my teeth.
It was a real slanderful episode.
Yeah.
You can find us online at slandermilkpodcast.com. Which is our podcast about the slander man, which is like a scary guy who just says mean things untrue. Well, I don't know. I guess most of the things we said were true, so it's not really slander.
Anyway, you can also find us on Facebook.com.
It's not slander to say that John Bon Jovi is from New Jersey.
/Facebook.com. Facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast.
Yep. And where I think people are going to weigh in on a lot of things, regardless of what we said. You can find us on, we are on Spotify. That's a place you can listen to our podcast.
Yep.
We're on Instagram at spilledmilkpodcast.
Yep.
We're on not just Spotify, all the popular podcasting platforms. And we'd love it if you'd leave us a review.
It really does help.
Our producer is Abby Circatella. We give her 5.5
stars. Long-suffering producer, Abby. Mm-hmm.
Until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk.
We're still in the milk stage and our kernels are real nice and tender.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Hemsterburton. It's all in the delivery. Hello.
Beepity, bop, bop. Hey, I'm not really hearing much in my earphones. My headphones, ear. Ah, that's nicer.
Yeah. Now the volume was turned down.
Oh, look at that. Beep, 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 beep.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.